With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome to the first edition of Friday's Views on Rappers Over Everything podcast. This is your host, Therese Farah. Welcome. We had to set it off right. We had to get one of the best beat writers in the business, Yahoo's own, Dishes and Dimes. You can find her on Twitter. What's your Twitter? Carmelo Drama. Yeah. Come on now. We got the world famous Yasmin. Yasmin, how are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to do the inaugural episode with you. It's fitting.
We requested you. We sought you out. You know, you've been a heavy hitter for the last few years, especially this season, which is like a little bit of a roller coaster. You always got some good jokes. But when it's time to get serious and put it into words, you're one of the best in the business. So how are you? What are your early thoughts on the season? And kind of how the direction of this episode and segment we kind of want to do is like a little bit of a post-game. Last night, Wednesday, November 24th, that was a big win on the road against a playoff team, Memphis Grizzlies. It didn't start off all too well. So I just want to get your early thoughts before we kind of get rocking and rolling here.
Early thoughts on the season. It's about as uneven that I kind of expected it to be, especially to begin. A stat that really stood out to me on TSN the other day was that the Raptors, this current iteration of the roster, has played the third fewest games amongst the active roster in the entirety of the NBA. So that just speaks to the youth of the team. They're only behind OKC and Memphis in that regard. And we've seen that in the early part of the season. We've really seen that. And, I think that Fred VanVleet mentioned it after the game, that these young guys don't really know how to maintain the winning energy that you need, the effort quarter to quarter quite yet. It's why we see them, take the first punch in the first half and then kind of regroup during the halftime and then come back and they kind of get it together. But usually it's too late. It leads to the famous fourth quarter comebacks that we've come
the fake comebacks.
Yeah. So, I think that we're just going to, when I saw that stat, I thought to myself, them coming out of this road trip, coming out of the constant injuries and stuff of the beginning of the season at around 500 would be a win, honestly. Like if they managed to beat the Pacers, come back home 10 of 10, 10, wins and losses, that's kind of successful. And, you can go into the rest of the season on a kind of a clean slate after your first 20 games.
Just to follow up on your point too, and Fred mentioned it, winning in this league is hard, and us Raptor fans, Raptors Nation, we've been very spoiled. It's been a 50 to 55 win season, championship, long playoff runs year in and year out. And last year, we chalked it up to the game as, okay, we're in Tampa Bay, it's COVID, this is an anomaly. And then you come into this year, younger team, different direction. And even though the expectation is there's going to be a lot of ebbs and flows, ups and downs, I don't think it's settled in yet that every win matters and every win is tough. Like, is a game against Memphis. That's a good team. That's a hard defensive, well-coached team. John Morant's a star in this league. Jaren Jackson's kind of coming to his own. Dylan Brooks is one of the better young two-way players in this league. That's not a gimme anymore like it would have been maybe 2-3 years ago, led by Colin Pascal. So that's interesting that you made that point, and we can kind of segue into last night's game with Scottie Barnes kind of breaking through the rookie wall. We were so excited about him and his early season successes and kind of pinning him as a rookie of the year early, and then past 2-3 games until the Memphis game has been a little bit of a struggle for him on both ends of the floor. What were your thoughts as he kind of figures himself out into the league and just a perfect bounce back game, especially when you're down and it seemed like that game was getting away from you, and then he just kind of grabs the momentum and leads us to a very successful second half versus Memphis?
It's just, you could kind of see him reading the defense, like how they're treating him as they get more data on him with the beginning of the season, before he kind of had the luxury of no one really having college footage of him playing for long stretches. So, you know, as the games have gone by, people have picked up on his tendencies. They know where his favorite spots are on the court. They don't sag back too far. They don't get too close. So it's kind of hard for him to decide to shoot. You can see that he's processing what's happening and he's thinking more than he has in the beginning of the season. I think that was the most that people, that's the thing that people have noticed, that he's thinking a lot more and you could see him processing things. But like the Raptors, second half comes in. I don't know what the coach says to him, but Scotty always adjusts. And he usually starts off the half with a series of baskets or a series of reads or something. And, you know, I think it's a matter of also adjusting to having Pascal alongside him. With Pascal, OG, and Scotty, there's a bit of overlap. So they have to kind of pick their spots and find their kind of identity throughout the season, because they both want to be in the post. They all three want to be in the post. You know, all three want to be creating plays from the elbow or whatever. So I think it's just a matter of not kind of bumping into each other, which I haven't noticed. So they've done a good job with that. I know we've seen other teams struggle with having players that have similar skill sets and finding a role for them all. But the Raptors have done a pretty good job with Scotty. And I think it's also him not being used to having a green light like this. You know, this, he's already played more minutes than he had for the entirety of his last college season. So he's already playing more basketball than he ever has before. And he literally has a green light to do absolutely anything he wants on the court, to shoot as much as he needs to. No matter what, Nick Nurse is always saying, I need him to shoot more. I need him to shoot more threes. I need him to do this. He needs to play make. He needs to basically be, you know, the top dog on the team. And it's cool seeing him embrace that so early in the season. And we still have a lot more to see.
Yeah. And to follow up on your point, it's just, we didn't know necessarily what type of player we were getting into Scotty. The scouting reports and everything that you talk about when it comes to Scotty Barnes wasn't necessarily him excelling at one thing, whether that be scoring, playmaking, defending, but it was more so the energy he brings, the type of person he is, the winning pedigree, and winning follows him everywhere. And I'd like to say last night might have been the first opportunity where Scotty Barnes rubbing off on the team was conducive and leading to winning. Whether it was, I saw him turn over the ball, get a layup, force another turnover, finish with contact, and then he's playing 80 feet out. Or when the game is starting to get away from you a little bit and we give up back-to-back buckets and it seems like we can't buy a basket for a minute, he hits a half-court shot from three. And then just the, I know a lot of his struggles with his three ball have been, you know, well-known for now, but it wasn't so much the inability to take the shots. A lot of it is just the process of actually wanting to take them. So it was nice to see him have 3-4 attempts. He did have a three that got changed into a two. So just letting him kind of evolve and add new dimensions to his game, which for some guys takes months or a year or an off season. It feels like every week or two, you're getting a new added dimension to Scotty Barnes' game. And it's needed. Like the team drafted him with the expectation that this is a big raw kid, but he loves winning. He has a high athletic pedigree. He thinks the game really well. It's the game is natural to him, and he lets the game kind of come to him. Now let's kind of add building blocks to his game. It was just, it was really nice to see that. And he started off pretty slow, and I was like, gave up a couple plays early on both ends of the floor, like a bad turnover, got lost a couple times. And then he kind of settled in, finished off with 17 points. It always felt like when they got a stop, Scotty was either the one making the pass or finishing off a dunk out in transition. Yeah. So it was just really nice to see him just impact the game. And this is a win we needed. If you want to, say around that 500 level while you get home, and I believe the next 10 of 11 are at home after this, that was a needed win against a good team. So, and I want to segue that into another young player on this team that's been very impressive, and he's my background picture for today. Gary Trent Jr., a.k.a. the closer. Another guy where it seemed like when you needed a tough bucket or to stop the bleeding bucket, you got it from Gary Trent. And then when Dylan Brooks was getting a little mouthy to the team, whether that be Pascal, whether that be Gary, it was like the FU bucket. So tell me a little bit of your thoughts of Gary Trent and last night and just his season as a whole.
Man, it was lonely on Gary Trent Island. <This whole season. laughs> I was so alone. I didn't know if I was making the right choice. But I feel vindicated. Gary's been nothing short of like insane this season. And his shot selection is disgusting. Like it's terrible. It's not good basketball, but he makes it. And just, you know, he looks like he intends to make it. Like it's no last minute shot. He goes to his spots on the court and he takes those shots. He's not being forced into these uncomfortable shots. He wants these weird ass mid-ranges, sideways floaters, these turnaround Jays. Like he wants that. And it's clearly a shot that he's been practicing. And one thing I've been most impressed by, and I think one thing that really separates him from Norm, besides his defensive capability, is his ability to like kind of dance a little bit at the perimeter. Like he's not just a catch and shoot guy. Like he can, you know, he can create separation. He can take a step back and everything, which I think is like for a 22-year-old, that's such a cool development to his game. And I think it makes his ceiling a lot higher. This is a guy who can really dribble. Like I think I've been impressed by his ball handling, and the Raptors can just give him the ball and let him do something. And last night I said that the half court offense looks a lot better this season. And someone showed me the stats and it's roughly the same as it was last season. But I just see, you know, when you think about who's been injured and everything, I kind of take the eye test and it just looks like they have so many more options at any given time. And yeah, they'll miss shots for a few stretches and there'll be some defensive bleeding. But before they would have like these predictable plays and things that they would constantly go back to, it was the Kyle and Pascal pick and roll constantly again and again and again. But it just seems that they have so many more options this time. And Gary's like a huge part of that.
No, absolutely. And like, again, you don't want to complain about anybody making shots. Some of the shots that he does take, it's why did he do that? And then it goes in and it's like, all right, you got me there. I was thinking this the other day. If this team makes the playoffs, you wonder if he's one of those young guys who has one of those coming out parties, because his game is a strong diet of pull up mid range, pull up three, doesn't need much space, but can create enough space to get his shot off. And the willingness to take and make these shots is huge. And I know we talk about the athleticism of OG, Pascal, Scotty Barnes, Precious, some of these big, long athletic guys. In his own right, Gary's a 6'6 guy that's pretty long. And, you know, I don't want to say he's an explosive athlete, but he knows how to manipulate his body and defenders range a little bit when they defend him to get just enough space where it's almost like a bigger J.R. Smith-esque, where J.R. would get contested, but it didn't matter because it almost felt like he was more comfortable with and expecting that type of contest. But as long as he gets the comfortable range that he needs to get that shot off, it's bag Twitter, it's bag basketball, you know, it's what we love. So like, you know, kudos to Gary again.
You got to recreate that ball don't stop where he's just listing the skills.
You're talking about Gary. Absolutely. You know, I don't know if the analytics are favored to Gary. I don't have the stats in front of me, but the Hoopers, you know, they love Gary. So, and that another
boy nice Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Hoopers, we had a 17-point third quarter from one Hooper. He's had a up and down season, and you know, it was a big main piece in the Kyle Lowry trade, one of the greatest Raptors of all time. But 17 points in the third quarter, tough road environment, you know, an environment that he's used to, University of Memphis grad. I just want to ask you, is this a flash in the pan, or is this what you can kind of expect from Precious? Not tomorrow, but when he puts it all together and finds some semblance of consistency in the league.
Yeah, no, Precious is going to, he's going to need to simmer for a couple of years, I think, before he becomes the player I think he can be. But the flashes are literally like, they've been consistent all season. His floor is very low, but when he plays well, like you see the possibilities of a player like Precious, a player that can, who can dribble already. One thing I've been really impressed by, even on his bad nights, is just his ability to just kind of keep his head down and get to the basket and just like go across the coast to coast. And it gets ugly sometimes. That's how it was 2017 with Pascal. That he could not dribble. Like it would get ugly sometimes. And you know, he'd lose the ball sometimes, and it would be you know, blocks and whatnot. But when you let a player make their mistakes and gain their confidence, that's literally how development is, you know, fostered. So with Precious, I think we've seen it multiple times enough to know that there's something there. And I think that he's worth investing the resources and the time required to develop that talent. And, you know, he made some threes the other day too. And his shot isn't that broken. He's someone who I think can be trained with reps. And I'm excited to see how he develops.
Absolutely. One made three as a rookie, 35% shooter from three this year. It was 3 of 3. To follow up on Precious, it's hard to evaluate Precious sometimes and see the value in him as a prospect or and as a player at this point in his, you know, in his career, in the stage of his life right now, because all the value that he brings you, especially on the defensive end, his length, his versatility, like he can guard in space a little. You saw on switches with Ja, he can hold serve, not every time, but on occasion. It's hard to value those and see some of the good things that he brings when on offense he gives you a 1 of 10, a 1 of 9,
yeah,
blown layups, doesn't catch the ball, and doesn't have really any confidence in finishing plays, which they are there for them. The offense almost seems like at some points in the year is playing 4-on-5 because Precious was being somewhat of a
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On factor. So on nights like last night where he's catching the ball, he's taking guys off the dribble. If they're smaller, if it's a smaller guy on him, he's too strong. If it's a slower big, he's too fast, too explosive. Yeah. And when you leave him out on the perimeter, he can knock down a couple shots. All of a sudden, you see all the value he brings. You want to keep him out on the floor because I think there is real value there defensively, only as a year two player. So good for Precious. You know, it's good to see this. I'd like to see him string along a couple more of these games. It doesn't have to be every night for him because he's a young big in this league, and he wasn't even meant to be a big, you know. He was a wing prospect coming out of high school. Out of necessity, they put him at the five in Memphis when James Wiseman doesn't play. He's just a stud there. And now I think people don't realize that the center position is pretty new to him. He was a wing his whole career, his whole life. So very excited, you know, just the flashes. You're not going to get that every night from him, but – man, if this is what you're going to see at his best or like at his peak and prime, like all of a sudden, Masai and Nick, like they're looking like geniuses because.
Yeah, there's huge value there on a rookie contract. Like there's huge value there.
Absolutely. And I want to let you go and keep it at three thoughts, but in the spirit of U.S. Thanksgiving and with the team after a big win, I just want to talk about something you're thankful for this season, whether that be a player, whether that be your favorite game, favorite trade. What are you thankful for and why?
Oh my God. I'm thankful for the number 4 pick being starting guard. Yo, you sometimes think about how bleak it would have been if we were at 8th or something.
Not to say those guys aren't good, but man.
I love Kuminga, Davion Mitchell. These guys are nice. They're going to be great, solid players in the future. But
they're not rookie years.
Scotty Barnes, he's blockbuster. He's the guy who's going to fill the seats. And, you know, I'm very thankful that he's looking the way he does. And I'm thankful that this is actually when this team is rolling, whether they win or lose, they're really fun to watch. These are great young players. They're in a far better position than they were back in 2014, the last reset for the team. And, you know, I can't help but be excited to see how they go about this huge home stretch they have coming up. I think they're playing 17 of 21 games at home. I'm going to go to as many as I can. And it should be great. You know, it's a lot That's to awesome. Be thankful for.
She'll be seen in the press box if anybody's wondering, wants to get an autograph. What is that?
With my binoculars.
Hey, absolutely. Man, what am I thankful for? I'd like to say, you know, I'm a pretty outspoken guy and I live moment to moment. So when there's guys that I'm fed up with.
Play to play.
Very play
to play.
Hey, Kawhi Leonard always say live in the moment. So that's what I try to do with my fandom. But and I've given this player a lot of flack over the years, but he's shut me up. Steady Freddy's, I think, has been our best Raptor all year. I think he's taken another leap, which is crazy. At age 26, 27, you kind of level off of what type of player you are in this league. I don't think the league gives that many opportunities for guys in their mid to late 20s to show that, you know, next step in that next level in their ability. And Kyle Lowry was an anomaly in his right, where around this age is where he kind of hit his stride into a Hall of Fame career. So I know there was opportunities in that 10 to 12 feet range of that mid range where we talked about, can he add a floater? Well, he just downright just added a pull up midi. You know, I think he's become a better playmaker. He doesn't turn over the ball as much.
He's finishing
around the rim.
Better, I feel like.
Absolutely. The ball doesn't stick in his hands as much anymore. He's really willing to initiate the offense and trust his guys to make plays around him. And I think they're rewarding him. He's averaging 19 and 7, almost 5 rebounds, 5'10", 5'11 point guard, getting 5 boards. You know, that's pretty big time. Like, that's, again, Kyle-esque, 42, 41, 90 splits. He's just been fantastic. He needs to be in that all-star conversation. And again, Fred is a guy that I didn't really see it with him. I thought like he was a good player in this league and enough to make a good living for his family. But I'm like, you know, with this young team, maybe it ain't it, but Fred shut me up. He's been fantastic and very thankful for Fred. I don't know if we're around 500 this time of the year without Fred. So, So we just want to wrap up. Do you want to give us your socials? Where can we, you know, find you?
Yeah, at Carmelo Drama on Twitter. And you can find my work in Yahoo. I'm covering the Raptors for the season and Dishes and Dimes. And I have a piece coming out for Complex. I interviewed someone who was dressing Pascal up for his injury on the bench. And he was purposefully wearing Black and Indigenous Canadian designers, so to showcase. Awesome. And it's a really cool thing. I'm glad to write it, and it should be out in the next couple of days. So yeah,
got the Yahoo bag, the Complex bag, you big time. Thank you so much to get you on here. You know, you've been fantastic as always. And that is our first episode of Friday Views through Raptors Over Everything podcast. I'm Reese. We got Yasmin. Holla at me, Twitter, YouTube comments. I read the YouTube comments too. So let us know any feedback that you guys got.